Well, hello there, you good and wonderful folk of audio group, Facebook, and Twitter. Robbie Jenkins with you once again. I'd like, if I may, to talk to you about eyesight. It's something that obviously is very personal to me, as I've kind of always had dodgy eyesight, more or less, since birth. And I mean, it was a bad forceps delivery. Here in Bristol, certainly hospital, and yeah, the surgeon was determined that I was going to come out cover one day, quite literally, and in doing so, because as I say, I was forceps delivery, the blade of the forceps kind of sort of dug into my left eye, and also ruptured the septum, maybe the septum, in the top of the nose, and which obviously means I've never ever had since birth a sense of smell. Some say that's good, some say that's difficult to tell really. But with the eyes, I mean, we nearly lost the left eye completely. Because obviously we really, really fussy around, we drag it out of upset me, and I was there, and it eventually came out, sometimes just after 11 a.m. On that Tuesday morning, 11th of December, and nobody really knew what damage had been caused. So far, but possibly serious damage had been caused by said forceps. And that didn't really pick up until 6, 7, and we effectively noticed that my left eye, which frankly was still attached to me, and was just very, very lazy. I can remember, this must be what, 30-odd years ago now, being picked up, so it must be, what, 7 or 8 years. And I'd gone through life, I'd gone through school, about caring what, really. Yes, I had eczema, I still do have eczema, and I suppose I was concentrating most on that, you know, and it was just, there's no sort of style or anything to outward sign, so to speak, to say, hello, we've got a problem with the left eye. It was only because I think, doctor, I can't remember what happened, whether I wouldn't see how to be proper or whatever, I can't remember, but they then picked up this test, obviously. And they realised that I had a lazy eye, and basically what happened was the brain had said, okay, that eye's not good, so kind of switched the attention and the focus to the right eye. And so I remember, say back in the early 80s, having to go around for a patch of the right eye and force the left eye to the brain to use the left eye effectively, and it was sort of going to school and seeing the patch over the right eye and forcing the left eye to see as best I could, and then obviously going to the opticians and various specialists and stuff like that to see, can we get done about it. I remember going, I think this back, it must be 83, 84, I think, and that could be wrong, but I think it's around about that time. How many can I see this woman? And she had one of these sheets that you basically look in, and you've got two wheels on the other side of the screen, a bit like a computer screen, I suppose, black, and you've got this shape of an outline shape of a pouch cage. And you had to get the pouch in the cage. Could I get that bloody bird in the bloody cage? Could I, Oak? And she would, in my opinion, bear my wife's 7-8 at the time. Bits like an, oh, you can everything come on, you know, she'd do it, music could work, she'd be able to do it, obviously, you know. Could I do it? No. Well, all the kids could do it, you know, with the sort of attitude that she came to have. And, you know, I swore then, I swore, no, if I ever see that woman again, I will not be responsible for my actions. Not that I'm a violent person, I hate to do that, but I could never discourage it, probably not. And she said, okay, right. Draw me a house. How do you draw a house? Like, yeah, how kids draw houses. We all drew houses as kids. Remember in primary school? The picture of the house with the big square and four squares, all the squares with the windows and the door. I always did it differently. I did it at the game of them. So the end of the house, the how I draw a house. I was sort of looking side on view almost. Okay, right. Interesting. And you can see this woman looking. Okay, clearly got something different here. Clearly this one's actually going to beat me. I'm not going to get this one. So anyway, we went to see some agreed that it was probably, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to see it. Because all it was because obviously my focusing wasn't good. So when you were trying to get the bat in the cage, you could see the cage, but you didn't see it clearly enough to say, okay, right. So the bat always be, and he started to be sort of sticking his beak or his head or his bum out of the cage, basically. And okay, fair enough. Change the paddock eye glasses back in I'm going to say 81, 82 I suppose that's all the wearing glasses. And you always get the either fun. But I was done the ribbing that took place at school, as inevitably you get. And we sort of went on without think that's about it. Until the early 90s, 20 years ago, 21 years ago now, in fact, 1991, September age of 17, I developed a cataract in the right eye. Effectively, the good eye. And this was really, really worrying, because it just happened overnight. To this day, we don't know the true extent of what caused it. We think it may be because of the eczema, rubbing the eye socket, because of the eczema, the issue or the rest of it. And that might have put pressure on the eyeball itself within the eye socket. Okay. And it just caused it to blur. I can remember coming home from college, I was at a tutorial course at the time, trying unsuccessfully to turn out to improve on my GCSE grades in certain subjects. And I was reading Half a Minute Death of Salesman. I don't know if you ever read that, but it's a really, really small print text in the book. I was really struggling. Of course, I came out one night. Just one night, I can't see. The age of tidying, you better get a cough for the rest of it. And I said, maybe not right, woman nurse. Okay. And so the next evening, I said, well, I really can't see. And she knew that I wasn't, I'm not the sort of person, okay, in the past, yes, at school, I might have sort of fibbed a few times to sort of get off school, probably because I haven't done my homework or whatever. But she realised this is you being serious, aren't you? Yeah, so I remember going to my GP at the time, and he called Mummy. She thought, shit, this is serious. And my GP then said, you've got to get into hospital, like, now. And so, I think my GP wanted this, he sent me down to Taunton, Wedgwood like Park Hospital. I said, no, can we go to Bristol Eye Hospital, because we've been seeing to Professor Eastie, who sadly is wanted to retired, and we went home, my dad, he came home from work, we shot up to Bristol, went straight to A&E, explained the situation, blah 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 blah. Yeah, like, I remember having an ultra scan done on the right eye, and they say, oh, you've got a cataract. And you can see it because they printed off it like this little particle photos you've got. You can see this blurt blob, something, just at the back of the eye. And they said, no, we can try that, it's not a problem. We can get that can be done. We can obviously get you sort of bumped up the waiting list, because obviously your young age, says in my sort of late teens, so no, we can obviously bump you up the waiting list. And but the professor was desperate, he said, can you go to private club, please? The Bristol Eye Hospital here in Bristol is a teaching hospital as well, give it teaching. And so, yeah, that they get from private operations, plowed back into further medical research into people's eyes and treatment of eyes and all the rest of it. So, yeah, we said, yeah, no, that's not a problem. And we set a time to have the operation. I can remember it was a Thursday afternoon of the operation, but a Thursday, so I must have been high on the list. And I was admitted in. Obviously on the Wednesday afternoon, the before. And I can remember being in a private room, there was obviously a private room sort of thing, just at the, before we got to the main body of the ward. And so I went down, taking out the theatre, and obviously was successful, and came back that first and I was completely, you know how it is when you come around from general anesthetic, they give me these two pre-med tablets prior to the operation, obviously to knock me out, which is about virtually useless, but you're just about going to sleep. It's always the same when you're about to be taken out of the theatre. Yeah, you get woken up by the porter carting the trolley. Yeah, you know, I'm supposed to be sleeping. What's that mean? It was kind of strange because then you get down there and check details, make sure. Obviously, they put a cross above the right eye so the professional knew. Yeah, we're doing it with the right eye, not the left eye. And so they gave me the injection, which was a general anesthetic, and obviously dozing off, and presumably rolled into the theatre itself. And it's fair now, I'm sort of back in my bed, private room, and I'm kind of thinking, well, you know what it is when you come around, you get really, really disorientated. Excuse me, about the time that you sort of think, can you sleep? And you get, I mean, it was so early evening, effectively, because then my mum said, oh no, he wants to walk to local news. Well, the last thing I really wanted to do, I'd do that. But it's sort of thinking, I was thinking, what's the news on this time of night? Thinking it was late in the street, to say about 6:25 at the time, but I was feeling very, very woozy, they're all over the place. I don't know where I was, I don't know, I kept letting rest. And I remember that evening, they'd obviously put the patch over the one of these sort of things, that sort of gold book, sort of cut in half kind of thing. It's got holes in it, but you stick a bit of microfiber over it. And anyway, I'm going to continue this in a minute, folks, because I see time is against us. So, catch you in the other half.